and they were really my blood brothers, but brothers from the Jesus blood.
Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Good evening, dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters all over the world. Here we are again in our radio show, The Way, The Life and The Truth. And really, the only truth in this life is the Son of God, Son of Virgin Mary, Jesus Christ. No matter how profane it sounds these days, these postmodern days, these post-Christian days in Western culture that we live in. But still, doesn't matter what society says about it. The fact is that the soul is immortal, the personality is immortal, and the only way how to achieve eternity, eternal life, immortality of our personality is through and only through Him, and by Him, and with Him, and in Him, and with Him in us, with Jesus Christ. Supreme Spirit, we can call Him this way, Supreme Being, Supreme Creator of this beautiful universe, and with us people living in it. But unfortunately, this love that He came to this earth to give it to us, we do not accept and we do not share it with other fellow men. We are jealous on each other. We envy each other. We hate each other. We are killing each other. What for? For this land, for rivers, for mountains, for oceans and seas, for valleys, for forests, for dust and ashes. Being not aware that planet is big enough for everybody, no matter how big humanity is. Even if there is 20 billions, it will be more than enough, because planet is ultimately rich in everything for every need that we have. But still, we are grabbing as much as we can, much, much more than we need. And of course, another fellow man on this evil way of us is an obstacle, and we are trying as hard as it is possible to remove these obstacles in terms to gain the goal. And the goal is endless material goods that we are never going to need really in our life, because most of it we cannot, nothing of it we cannot take with us in our graves. And the only thing that we are going to do is to fight with other fellow man and to kill. So the same thing again and again in history happened in Serbian Holy Land, Kosovo. Kosovo and Metohija, how it is called in full, incomplete title. So the bloody war was on. We were living in our monastery of Visoki Dečani in Kosovo. At the time there was the number of 35 of us, and it was pretty good, strong spiritual brotherhood, very compact, in obedience to our abbot Theodosius and to our bishop Artemios. So we were trying to live and act as nothing is going on outside of the walls of our monastery, even though it was not easy at all not to be conscious of bloody, terrible war which was raging all over Kosovo. Serbs and Albanians were in deadly conflict, in terrible, bloody war, killing each other, and not only killing, but torturing, molesting, cutting heads, piercing eyes, burning, and all other terrible things. So, on one hand, we were living our regular, everyday monastic life. Church services, obediences, private cell prayers, rest, and again, the 24-hour cycle of monastic life. But on the other hand, we were getting news from outside every day. We would hear terrible things, killing, raping, torturing, slaying, blood spilling, terrible things. And very often it was happening to people that we used to know. So it was all very hurting. It would hurt our monastic sensitive hearts and souls hearing this absolute ultimate madness that was going on all over Kosovo and Metohija. And I remember those days, those months, through the whole war, which lasted, I think, if I remember well, something like a year and a half, not more than that. And I remember those days, especially those nights, when I would wake up early in the morning, usually about 1 o'clock in the morning, when it was still, of course, dark outside, night, and that was as a part of my prayer rule. I would usually go in bed early, about 8 o'clock in the evening, and I would wake up about 1 o'clock at night, and then I would start my prayer. I would read Gospels, Psalms, David's Psalms, and then I would contemplate the Jesus prayer, prayer of the mind and the heart. And I remember those nights, how deeply I suffered being faced with this terrible hatred among fellow men, among people of Serbs and Albanians in Kosovo, people that used to live there for centuries as neighbors. And now they were slaying each other, killing, and all those terrible news that we used to receive every day. And those nights were profoundly filled with my deep, deep heart compunction and prayer with tears, facing the most immense evil that can happen in humanity. And maybe I'm never going to have such a deep prayers, so fiery prayers, for salvation of my sinful soul and for salvation of every soul of every man on this sad planet called Earth. And of course for terminating of this terrible war, finishing. I pray to God, O Lord, finish this madness, stop it, bring sanity to people. Call them to their senses, not to do this anymore. Why do this for? Why do they do this for? There is enough place for everybody, but a goddamn politics and goddamn politicians who always did the same thing to bring nations in conflict and then to rule, because this is the easiest way to rule. And they do that today, especially in Middle East, bringing people in mutual conflict, starting the war, and then you can rule undercover. So at that time, my main obedience was icon painting. We had a studio, and there were a couple of us icon painters. So I was painting my icons, praying to the Lord, and suffering deep in my heart because of all that blood that was leaking as a river through whole Kosovo and Metohija. But mostly I was trying hard to forget what is going on around me. And I was trying hard to sink deep into the depths of my being, to sink deep into the bottom, into the abyss of my soul, and to fight there with the sins of my youth and with all passions that I acquired during my youth and during the whole life of mine before entering the monastic life. So the time was passing by, gun shooting and thundering and booming of cannons all over finally became something regular and everyday and normal, so that I didn't pay attention on it anymore. I was just dwelling deep in my heart and asking for mercy for my sinful soul and for every soul on this earth. So slowly, finally arrived the most terrible part of this war, and it was air raids, bombing of NATO forces of mostly Serbia and bombing of Kosovo, especially the Serbian forces, in order for this war to be over. So it was really terrible. These warplanes, they used to have very terrible sirens, and it was reminding me on those war movies from World War II with those German airplanes called Stukas. They had this siren when they would descend in order to shoot with bombs. These sirens were there to frighten the people. And I remember those war airplanes in this war in Kosovo had similar thing, similar sound. And it was so terrible when they would descend in order to reach certain height when and where they let loose bombs. And before that, they would produce extremely frightful and terrible sound. And this sound, I don't know, and I don't really remember, I don't really know how they managed to produce such a terrible sound. And it would sound like the whole heavens would scream. It reminded me on some special, let's say, let's just make a comparison with some big metal wardrobe, and the doors would be, when you open the door of some rusty old metal wardrobe, and it would scream and squeak when you open it, and such a terrible sounds would sound all over through the heaven, through the sky, and after that the bombs would fall down, especially those cassette bombs. It would explode on a certain height above the ground, and then a lot of small bombs would fly all over everywhere, and they, many of them wouldn't explode. They would just hit the ground, and they would somehow dig in, and they would be under the ground, but not very deep. And many days after the air raid, whoever would approach these small cassette bombs, they would react on the warmth of human body, and they would then explode. It was such a terrible satanic invention. And we remember many days and months after the bombing campaign that people would get killed plowing their fields with tractors, or even just approaching close to these cassette bombs, and they would get killed or just lose leg or arm or eye. So it was really perverse, especially this terrible sound, which would be always before the air raid, screaming all over the skies above us, and then the bombs. And those sirens that would be produced by the airplanes before the very losing the bombs. And very often these bombs would fall not far away from our monastery, not far away from my monastic cell, not far away from my bed. And few times I remember I would fall down from my bed. I would just, the whole house was shaking. And for many months and even years after this terrible war air raids, whenever I would hear airplane, some terrible fear would go deep into my bones, and my heart would shake and lose the rhythm. So the war and every war is something really inhuman. And this one also was something like that. One of these mad inventions of sick human mind.
Lord, this is the end.
Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. So finally, with these air raids and bombing, the Serbian forces, and better to say Yugoslavian army, was of course destroyed and forced to capitulate, to finish their actions and fighting. So finally, after almost a year and a half, this bloody and unjust war in Kosovo was over. And the biggest fights were not far away from our monastery. Finally, it concentrated in the mountains, in the hills, not far away from the monastery. And very terrible and big fights were right there. And basically, Serbs were getting close to the victory because they were really good soldiers, good fighters, good warriors. Like always, they were. And even in this war, they were successful. But of course, since there are no wars anymore in a valiant way, but only in a way how the big countries and big powers in this world want, so this war was this way as well. So finally, because the whole deal was between NATO forces and Kosovo Albanians against Serbs, of course, with this intervention of NATO troops, not troops, but air forces, the war was finished because, of course, you cannot fight from the ground with the bombs. And finally, the Serbs were defeated. They had to run away, to leave the combat fields. And finally, the war was over. And the Albanians, the Kosovo Albanian nation, they were victors. They conquered Serbs and finally, after 3 centuries, this time with the help of Americans, they managed to occupy Kosovo and Metohija, which was their goal since the Turks gave them for the first time this idea and possibility 3 centuries ago. And it was really a very, 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 very terrible period for us over there, because now, finally, Albanians and their UCK armies, the Liberation Army of Kosovo, they would start to come down from the hills and mountains and forests and to celebrate. And the whole Kosovo became like one big, terrible, bloody Roman Colosseum. Now they started to revenge the remain Serbs who remained on Kosovo, because when Serbian army was defeated, Yugoslavian army was defeated, they started to retreat. And they said to all local Serbs, they are forced to retreat, and they are called, and they are calling all the native Serbs to live together with them. Otherwise, it is going to be very dangerous to them, because they know that the Albanians were thirsty for revenge, and they were literally bloodthirsty, and they showed this very well. But many Serbs who were not fighting, they said, no, we are not going to retreat because we didn't participate in the war, in the fights, and we know Albanians. They have their codex of justice, and they are going to save us. They are not going to do any harm to us. But of course, unfortunately, they were very, very wrong, because the bloody and goddamn politics and politicians, they installed such a big hatred among Albanian nation that now they were so full of hatred and bloodthirst to kill and to revenge not only Serbs, but to kill even Serbian animals, to cut down Serbian fruit trees and anything which was Serbian, they were destroying with enormous hysteria and unseen hatred. It was something inhuman. It was something demonic. Every war is something devilish, demonic. But this one was specially this way. And it was really a very, very frightful and terrible moments. These few days were when Yugoslavian army was retreating, but the KFOR forces, NATO KFOR forces, were not yet there. In our area, around our monastery and this part of Kosovo, it was part that belonged to Italian forces. So Italians didn't come yet, and the Yugoslavian forces left. So there was a vacuum in about 2.5 days that we didn't know what was going to happen to us, because the wild and completely mad Albanian troops were all over, and they were revenging to everybody who they could find. Serbs, of course. They were destroying houses, churches, schools, orchards, Serbian animals, monasteries. So it was kind of very, very delicate and very, how could I say, period that you don't know what is going to happen and whether you're going to stay alive or you're just going to be killed or at the best driven away from the monastery to some concentration camp or who knows where. So these 2 days, I have to say that before Yugoslavian troops left, Abbot Theodosius gathered the whole Brotherhood and he told us, Yugoslavian forces are leaving. We do not know what is going to happen to us and what are the Albanians able and up to do with us. So, Bishop addressed us and he told us, whoever wants to leave, he can leave, no problem. And then, when the things get settled, then we can come back. I am going to stay, the abbot said, because I am the captain of this ship, and if this ship sinks, I am going to stay on it. But everyone else, is free to leave together with our forces, and if circumstances will be good, then we can come back. So nobody raised the arm to say that he wants to leave. We all stayed, and the abbot was really firm in his decision, and I must say he was actually very brave. And this strength of his gave us strength. So we said, no, we are going to stay here with our abbot and in our holy monastery. And we are not going to leave the holy relics of our Saint King Stephen of Dechany. And we'll stay here whatever happens. And we believe whatever happens, it will happen by God's providence. So even if we are frightened a little bit, we believe that God will save us. So we stayed. And these 2 days were really very hard for me. I was just praying to the Lord to stay brave and not to show that I'm afraid. And I was afraid for my life. We didn't know what is going to happen. The Albanian troops could break into the monastery and to do whatever they want. And they did this to several Serbian monasteries on Kosovo. Even 2 monks were killed. One in prison and one not far away from town of Klina. One was even beheaded in a Muslim war tradition. But finally, the Italian troops came and we were protected. They put their posts all over the monastery. The tanks were around, the barbed wire, their soldiers. So finally, we could relax a little bit. Although now the Kosovo and our monastery became as a prison, as a concentration camp. Now we started to live in a monastery which was surrounded by barbed wires. Soldiers, guns, tanks, and all those war vehicles. And now the Italian soldiers became everyday sight in front of our monastery and our guardians, I have to say. And those Italians were good people, soft people, Mediterranean, good souls. They were not that bloodthirsty like Germanic people, like Germans, Dutch and Britons. Especially Germans and Dutch were very cruel and very cold. And to those Serbs in these enclaves where Germans and Dutch were, it was very hard for them over there. In those parts of Kosovo, which were protected by especially Italian Spaniards, Spanish forces, they had good time because they were good people, especially Spaniards and Italians. And as well, I have to admit that Scandinavian forces, people from Scandinavia, they were very civilized and good people. I remember people from Denmark and from Norway, soldiers, were very nice, very polite, very civilized. And but in the eyes of Germans especially, you could see hatred and detest. So we were lucky that we were under the Italian protection. But of course, we have realized that the Kosovo and we are under the occupation now by the NATO forces. It was not Serbian land anymore. It was Albanian land that was never in the history, but the big countries, the big world powers decided this way because it is a big planetary war which was on until these days. The only difference is at that time Russia was very weak and on their knees. And the difference today is that Russia is coming into the game again. And they're not playing. They're really gaining their strength back again. And of course, I'm not pleading for nor voting for guns and bombs and killings. But there has to be a balance. It was really disgusting to see Americans to act as a planetary policeman and to do whatever they want and to make mess wherever they want. So now there is a multicentric world, not only one center, but many centers, not only America and NATO, but now we have other forces who are going to make balance. But unfortunately, this balance is going to be made by airplanes, warships, special new weapons for efficient killing of people. Anyway, the war was over, and now we witnessed the terrible, the most terrible things that started to happen on Kosovo. Now Albanians were free. They were like loose dogs out of their leash. And of course, there was still a lot of Serbs in Kosovo, a lot of Serbian churches, Orthodox Christian churches and monasteries, that they were target now of these mad and bloodthirsty Albanians who started to molest and to torture and kill and destroy whatever was Serbian, starting with people through the churches. And the most terrible thing, they were destroying cemeteries. They would dig out the graves. They would put out the bones and they would scatter the bones of Serbian dead people, Serbian corpses. And we remember sometimes we would go to the local cemeteries and fix the cemeteries and gather the bones, bury them again. And several times we found human skulls full of dirt and human fecalia. Because Albanian hatred was not normal, human hatred. It was like worse than animal hatred. Animals do not hate this way. This way, only demonized human can act. To dig out the graves of their enemies and to piss and to shit on the skulls of the Serbian people died only God knows when. So all those things that we heard really terrified us and disgusted us and made us puzzled how far can human madness, how far it can go. So the life in the monastery was going on. We were trying to live our daily life and our daily duties regularly, to serve the Lord, to serve the Jesus Christ, and to work on the salvation of our souls. And after the war, after the end of the war, our monastery became a visiting place, a center, in a way, for many formations, humanitarians, soldiers, politicians, spies, who knows what kind of people started to go and to visit Kosovo and to hunt in muddy waters all over. Only God knows what kind of people we used to see these years after the war on Kosovo. And they would very often come to visit us as some kind of exotic place. They thought they are going to see Serbian monks as some kind of cannibals or whatever. But they would always, of course, change their minds when they would see that we were servants of living God and that we never spread the hatred and that we always accepted in our monastery everybody. During the Yugoslavian army war campaign, we accepted at one moment in our monastery more than 200 Albanians, local and Albanians, who were threatened to be killed by some kind of para-army forces. Then, once we also accepted more than 50 gypsies, Muslim gypsies from around, after the war, because Albanians didn't want anybody else in Kosovo except Albanians. So, even those gypsies who were Muslim, like they were killing and chasing away.
Spasi Bože narod tvoj, blagoslovi nasljeđe tvoje, posjeti svet svoj milošću i dobrotom i ukrepi moć Hrišćana pravoslavnih i nispošli na milosti svoje bogate. Molitvama se prečiste vladičice naše Bogorodice i prisno Djeve Marije, silom časnog i životvornog krsta, zastupništvom časnih nebeskih sila bestelesnih, časnog i slavnog proroka, preteče i krstitelja Jovana, sveti slavnih i svehvalnih apostola, svetih otaca naših i velikih vasilinskih učitelja i svetitelja, Vasilija Velikoga, Grigorija Bogoslova i Jovana Zlatoustoga, svetih otaca naših Atanasija i Kirila Patrijarah Aleksandrijskih, svetog oca našeg Nikolaja, arhijepiskopa Milikijskoga čudotvorca, svetih ravnoapostolnih Metodija i Kirila učitelja slovenskih, sveti srpskih prosvetitelja i učitelja, Simeona Mirotočivog, svetitelja, Save, Arsenija, Maksima, Vasilija Ostroškog i Petra Cetinskog, sveti slavni dobropobednih mučenika, prepodobnih i bogonosnih otaca naših, sveti pravedni bogotaci, Joakime i Jane, svetog velikog mučenika, kralja Stefana Dečanskog i svih svetih, molimo te mnogo milostivi, Gospode, usliši nas grešne, koji ti se molimo i pomiluj nas. Milošu i dobrotom i čovekoljublje, jedinorodnoga Sina Tvoga, sa kojim si blagosloven, sa svesvetim i blagim i životvornim Tvojim duhom, sada i uvek i u vekove vekova.
Amen. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. So, after the war, we accepted more than 10 families, I think 15 families of gypsies, local gypsies, and we were protecting them, and we were sending them across the border, number by number, with our vans, helping them to reach the border and to escape Kosovo. And then, months and years after that, they would call us and write us from all over the world, and thanking us that we saved their lives. So, all those visitors in our monastery, first, of course, they would come and visit our beautiful church, and then, right after that, the abbot and his deputy, Father Sava, they would take all these important guests. Sometimes they were really important, sometimes they were less important, but most of them were people from humanitarian organizations, army officers, politicians, and who knows who else. And they would take them to our icon painting studio, to our atelier, because it was very fancy in a way, and it was very attractive. Because it was one very big studio with a skylight, very nice, modestly, but very nice, furnished with five easels, five painting places, and with brothers who would paint icons in a very good fashion. In the meantime, I managed to teach brothers from the monastery how to paint icons. So now we were five iconographers, and we were painting very successfully icons in a traditional Byzantine Orthodox Christian way. So it was very attractive to them. And so God helped us this way to earn some money, because it was very hard time for us to live there. Because before the war, we were painting icons for churches all over, especially for icon screens, which makes a division in Orthodox churches between altar space and the other part of the church where lay people stays and prays. So now we were deprived of this source of income. But God helped us, and now these people from all over the world would start to flow into the monastery, and they were frequently visiting our studio, and we were, of course, painting every day. So whenever they would enter in, they would say, "Oh, wow, what is this?" They would never expect something like this. It was looking like some kind of mixture of some kind of very fancy New York art studio and some kind of very traditional old-fashioned Byzantine icon painting atelier. So most of these people were very surprised in a nice way. And finally, of course, they would start to order icons from us. And it became a very great inspiration for us now to work in a missionary way with these people from all over the world, painting icons, Orthodox Christian Byzantine icons to them. So there were people from all over, United States, China, India, Europe, South America, Africa. And they all wanted to have a souvenir from our monastery. And it was not just ordinary souvenir. It was a hand-painted icon. Of course, different sizes and different motifs. Mostly it was a famous Dechany Mother of Lord, Virgin Mary, holding small Jesus in their arms. And of course, many other icons. Very often the icon of Saint King Stephen of Dechany, who was a protector and a main saint of our monastery. And of course, many other icons. Saint George, Saint Demetrius, angels, Saint Nicholas, and many others. Saint John the Baptist, of course, and many other Orthodox Christian icons. So all of a sudden, that we didn't expect, we became so busy working in this way, a very serious missionary work. And all these people from all over the world were so delighted to see these beautiful icons. So finally, we became some kind of ambassadors of Serbian nation and Serbian faith, of Orthodox Christian spirituality, Serbian Orthodox Christian spirituality. And they started to change their minds about the whole thing about Serbs. So whenever they would enter our painting studio, we were telling them what is Byzantine painting style. We were talking about Orthodox Christianity. We were talking about monastic life, how we pray for the whole world, and etc. and etc. So it was really in the middle of this very sad period for Serbs in Kosovo. In Dečani we had this really great inspiration and this beautiful circumstance to show what we really are. And it was a spiritual embassy. The Dečani, the monastery of Visoki Dečani, at that time, in these terrible post-war times in Kosovo, were really embassy. And they were trying to be ambassadors of Serbian nation and Serbian spirituality. So only God knows, I didn't really write down how many icons we painted and we sold. And of course, I have to admit, it was very important for us to make some income, because it was very hard to live under the in this barbed wires that we couldn't leave. We couldn't produce anything. We couldn't work on our fields almost. We couldn't go all over and work in churches. And it was really hard. So this way, we managed to bring some good income and to live from this. So the abbot gave us really free, as we say, free arms. He gave us the freedom to work as much as we could, painting icons, and this way supporting the monastery. Of course, on the other side of the our economy yard, there was also wood carving studio and carpenter shop, because our monks were also very good and versed in wood carving. So we were a good team making icons. And then on the other hand, we were making wood carving icons or nice wood carved frames. So it was in all this mess and this sad circumstance, we managed to live and to work and to produce and to support our monastery. And so in this bad times, we managed to build something good and nice and to make endless, countless good relations and friendships with people from all around, with army officers, with members of different churches, of especially with Protestant denominations, people from England and from Scandinavia and from Germany and from and also, of course, Roman Catholics. We made very good friendships with Lutheran priests from Scandinavia. They would come very often, and they were very nice people, and they were trying to help Serbian people all over Kosovo. And even I actually made a friendship with, what was his name? I don't remember anymore. It was really more than almost 15 years ago. He was a spiritual counselor of the main army officer of KFOR forces. And he was British chaplain, but with a very high rank. And of course, he was an Anglican priest. And he used to come very often to our monastery, and he was very fond of conversations with me. And one time, I have to mention this, he told me, and he was very famous, one of the oldest Anglican priests at that time, and he was very appreciated among KFOR forces in Kosovo. Once, after we already made a good friendship, and after many spiritual talks, common talks between two of us, he told me, you know, Father Arsenije, you are my spiritual father. It was kind of funny to me, but he was serious. And I said, well, I can be your spiritual friend, but spiritual father I can be never to you, because you are older than me and you are a priest for many years. I'm just a simple monk. He said, no, you told me so much about Christianity and so much about Orthodox Christianity that I never knew before. And now I look at Orthodox Christianity with different eyes. I really didn't know many details about it before I met you. So I must admit, it was good for me to hear that. But on the other hand, my life, my spiritual monastic life was, I was very thirsty and hungry of prayer, of contemplative prayer, of solitude, of silence. And more I was losing it, because now we were frequently visited, every day almost, with these people from all over the world. We slowly, through the time, became famous. Our monastery, especially our icon painting studio, became really famous. And people started to come only to see, to talk to us. And they said, there is a monk who used to live in the United States. He speaks English. He is an interesting person. And etc. and etc. So I started to lose my peace of my mind, and to lose the peace of my spiritual peace, to lose my prayerful peace, praying peace. And more I started to think, what I'm going to do. Here we are in some kind of golden cage. We are appreciated. People really like what we do. They flatter us. They give us money for our icons. But I feel as a bird in a golden cage. I don't give a damn. I don't care. Is it iron made or golden cage or diamond cage? But it is a cage. So finally I started to think and to reflect more and more what I'm going to do, because I couldn't stay there anymore. And it was really, of course, it didn't happen immediately. The war stopped there, I think, about 2001. And I stayed there 4 more years until 2005. And we used to paint, we used to work, we used to live, we used to paint hundreds of icons. We became famous all over the world. People were coming, you know, people from different TV studios. We were very, very often in Serbian, Belgrade radio and television, and many other televisions from Italy, from Europe, from England, from Germany, from Scandinavia, even from United States. There were TV teams who would come there and shoot and make movie stories about our monastery and monks who live there, what they do and how they sing beautifully, because we used to have also a beautiful singing church service dedicated to our protector, Holy King Stephen of Dečani. It would happen every Thursday evening, and it would last for about 45 minutes. The sarcophagus of the holy relics, we would open it, and then everybody could venerate and could see the holy relics, and we would sing on two sides of the church. two choirs, and it was really beautiful. So a lot of people, especially soldiers, Thursday evenings the church would be full of soldiers and people from all over the world. So the monastery of Visoki Dečan really became famous. And very often, many times, the Albanians wanted to overcome, to take over the monastery. But since we became so famous in the world community, we were protected. But definitely, I started to think that my time in my life in the monastery of Visoki Dečani was getting close to its end. I was thinking more and more, not without pain in my heart, because I used to love this brotherhood as my real kin. They were like my real blood brothers. Even more than that, because we were partaking from one holy communion. And they were really my blood brothers, but brothers from the Jesus blood. But finally, I have realized this in my heart, that the end was approaching of my dwelling in the monastery of Visoki Dečani. And slowly but surely, I have realized that the time when I'm going to leave is getting close. As I said, it was not without big pain in my heart, but it was very similar feeling when I was leaving the world. 15 years before that, when I was leaving the world, my life in the world, and going into the monastery. Now, with this pleasant pain, but and also the joy in my heart, I have realized I have somehow to leave the monastery of Visoki Dečani and to find solitude, to find deserted place where I'm going to be isolated, where I'm going to dedicate myself finally after 15 years of monastic life, in the common life, in the monastery, to be somewhere completely alone and dedicated to the prayer only. And God condescended to this wish of mine, and by His providence it happened that I managed to fulfill this long time wish of mine. About that we'll talk in our next episode. Until that, I wish you everything the best in your life and good night. Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amphilochia. The fact is that the soul is immortal, the personality is immortal.